بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها، إن الله لغفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. Beloved brothers, this ayat of the Quran Sharif that I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if you try to enumerate the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then you will never be able to enumerate the ni'mat and the bounties of Allah ta'ala. So many bounties, so many ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, we are enjoying every split second of our life. Now there are two particular bounties which the hadith states that we are very, very negligent in regards to. Ni'matan maghboonun feehima kathirun minan nas. There are two ni'mat, there are two bounties which majority of the people are negligent in regards to. We take these bounties for granted. As-sihhatu wal-faragh. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the good health which Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with, and the free time which Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with, we take this for granted. A person that Allah Ta'ala has blessed with good health, he always thinks that my health will remain forever. Somebody else will get sick, somebody else will have a heart problem or some health problem, but I won't have a problem. This is how we normally think, this is insan. Yet we find that at any stage, at any time, a person, he can lose his health. It can take seconds and a person has lost his health. Now this body which Allah Ta'ala has given us, this is an amanat from the side of Allah Ta'ala. That is why we cannot use the body as we want. A person, he wants to commit suicide. Haram. Why is haram? Because the body doesn't belong to us. Similarly, a person, he wants to donate his heart. He wants to donate his lungs, for example. His kidneys. He cannot do that. Fuqaha say it's not permissible. Why? The body does not belong to you. This is amanat. So just as this body is amanat, we cannot use the body as we desire, as we wish. In the same light, we find that this body that Allah Ta'ala has given us, it is necessary and obligatory upon us to maintain good health also. That our health, we must take care of our health. And if a person is afflicted with any illness, with any sickness, then it is necessary that he takes the requirement medication for that illness, for that sickness of his. So much so, it is mentioned that this good health is so beloved to Allah Ta'ala. In a hadith it is mentioned, مَا سُئِلَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Allah Ta'ala is not asked for anything that is more beloved to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala than afiyah, than good health. A person, he makes dua, this is one of the greatest duas that he can make, where he asks Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to bless him with good health. We find when Allah Ta'ala has created the world, everything has been created in pairs. For example, on one side you will find Iman, but in opposition to Iman you will find Kufr. If Allah Ta'ala has created day, in opposition you will get night. If there's heat, in opposition you will get cold. So whatever Allah Ta'ala has created, Allah Ta'ala has created in pairs. Similarly, we can take these examples a little further to the second stage, that from these opposites that Allah Ta'ala has created, there are those things that are beloved to Allah Ta'ala and there are those things that are hated by Allah Ta'ala. For example, Iman is beloved to Allah. And Kufr, this is hated by Allah Ta'ala. To be righteous, this is beloved to Allah Ta'ala. And to be a fasik, to break the laws of Allah Ta'ala, this is hated by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then we come to a third stage where we find there are those things that are more beloved to Allah Ta'ala in comparison to those things that are less beloved. Those things that are more beloved, among the things that are more beloved to Allah Ta'ala is good health. That a person has good health, this is more beloved to Allah in comparison to illness. Why? When a man enjoys good health, he can make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas a person that is ill, he cannot make so much of ibadat of Allah Ta'ala as he desires because he does not have good health. That is why the hadith says that the most beloved thing that a person can ask from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the good health that Allah Ta'ala grants a person with. Therefore we find in Ramadan also, Hazrat over a period of 2-3 days, he just talks about food, just about food, how important it is to consume halal food, healthy food, because this is related to the health of a person. If a person got health, he can make the ibadah of Allah. For a person that is a qari of the Quran, he has to take care of his teeth in order so that he can pronounce the alfaz, he can pronounce the words correctly from the proper maharij. However, having said all this, we find there are sometimes certain stages where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tests his bandha. This health is sometimes snatched away from a person. And many people, when their health is snatched away, then they become very, very despondent. They lose a lot of hope that I have lost my health. So here in the dunya we find there's always two conditions. One is a condition, either sometimes there's happiness and sometimes there is sadness. You will never find a person in the world that is always happy. That is only in Jannah. Only happiness, that is only in Jannah. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No fear in Jannah, no grief in Jannah whatsoever. And neither will you find a person in this world that he goes only through difficulty in this world. That also you won't find. Because that is only in Jahannam. So in dunya we find sometimes there is happiness, sometimes there are good times. And sometimes a person he goes through difficult times. Which Khaja Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi in one poem he says, جَهَا خُشِيَاتِ أَبْ وَهِي هَي مَاتَمْ. That where there were happiness, where there was happiness, an occasion of happiness and joy, today there are people that are crying that somebody has passed away in that home. Last week we will hear that somebody's place, there was a jalsa, a child finished Quran Sharif, Quran Khatam has taken place. Everyone is celebrating, everyone is so happy. 1 week later somebody passes away in that home. One week ago you will hear that in somebody's home there was a nikah, there was a walima taking place. A child was born, there was an aqiqah dawud that had taken place. 1 week later, somebody had passed away. So, jahan khushi aati, where there was happiness at one stage, wahi hai matam, there now somebody has left the world and everyone is crying. So, this is the dunya. Sometimes happiness and sometimes sadness. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this test that a person has to go through, sometimes happiness, sometimes difficulty, ashaddun nasi bala'an al-anbiya, that the worst or the most difficult of tests the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam experience. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. Then those that are like the Anbiya, and then those that are like them. So here, the ulama have written, there is glad tidings for a mu'min and a believer. There's no need to become despondent. There is glad tidings over here. That the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they go through the most severe and the most difficult type of test. And those that are like the Anbiya, and those that are like them, they will have to follow suit. They will also have to experience these type of difficulties, these type of tests. But on condition that a person, when he goes through these difficulties, then at that time he continues making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, making dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, giving sadaqah, remaining connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it becomes a means of rahmat for such a person. Otherwise we find that the difficulties that a person goes through, it can take two forms. Either it is a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, or either it can be an azab from Allah Ta'ala. If it is an azab, the question might come to our mind that azab is for the akhirah. So how come a person he gets azab in this dunya? So ya Allah Ta'ala mentioned the Quran, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى. That sometimes we make them, most certainly we will make them taste. مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى, the small azab. The azab of dunya is referred to as small azab. دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ, not the great azab. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that when you taste that small azab, you turn now, you go back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you come back onto the straight path. But how does a person know that whether this difficulty that I'm going through, whether it's our health, whether it is a financial difficulty and a financial problem that a person is going through, or whether it's some social problem or some family problem that he's experiencing, that this is the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, or is this azab from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So ulama have mentioned that when it is rahmat from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then a person, as I mentioned, he starts making more ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Then a person starts giving sadaqah, he starts making more dua, he becomes more humble. And in this way Allah Ta'ala draws him closer and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala elevates him. And when it is azab from the side of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala protects us. A person that is reading namaz, sometimes he stops reading his faraz namaz also. He stops his faraz. A person that was making tilawat of Quran, he was making zikrullah, he gives all that up, he stops all that. To such an extent that today we are coming across cases where people are angry with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And there are sometimes cases where people even lose their iman. So this is an indication that this is azab and this is a punishment from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now here the ulama have written that a question might come to the mind. That when this difficulty that a person goes through, this is a rahmat, this is a mercy from the side of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the world normally this does not happen. When we love somebody, we don't put them through difficulty. We make sure that that person is comfortable. So how is it that Allah Ta'ala is putting us through difficulty and then we are seeing that this is a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is drawing us closer. So ulama have written that in this dunya there is not, you will never find a situation where we are only happy. There will definitely be difficulty sometimes and happiness, difficulty and happiness both a person will experience. One person he met Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, we will understand it from this example. One person he met Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he met Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, he knew that the dua of Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam is accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he told Khidr alayhi salam, look, why don't you make dua for me? So he says, what dua do you want? What is it that you require? So he says, I require this, that I must never go through any problems in this world. No difficulty, no problems in my life. So Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam said, this dua I can't make. In the world, every person, he will have some problems in his life. Some difficulty, some hardship he will be afflicted with in the world. So Khidr alayhi salam told him, you know what you do? Let's do this. You go around and you see if you come across any person that you like to be like. You see this person is very successful, he is very happy, you want to be like this person. Then whoever this person is, you come to me and you tell me, make dua that Allah Ta'ala make you like that particular person. How he is happy, how he is content with his life, Allah Ta'ala gives you that. So this person, he was happy, he left, he went in search of people. So he came across somebody, very wealthy person, outwardly it seemed that he had got everything. And he said, I want to be like this person. But just when he was about to make up his mind that I want to be like this person, then he sees another person. And that person has got more than what this person got. So in this way he continued, went around. Finally he came to one person who, according to him and his intelligence, he had everything. He had a massive business, jewelry merchant. And he had the best of conveyances in that time. So he's got money also, he's got conveyances. He's got many, many servants that were working for him. And he had a handsome young son that was sitting by him. So he said, certainly this is the person that I want to be like. He's got everything. So as he was about to return, he thought to himself that before I go, let me put this question forward to this person. Let me ask him, that is everything okay? Are you happy with the life that you have got? So he went up to him and he said that with the life that you have got, all these outward means of enjoyment, are you happy with your life? Are you content? He says, why are you asking? So he says, I want to be like you. So he took him one side and he says, never make this dua. Never make this dua. If there's anyone that is living a life of misery in the world, it is me. I'm living this life of misery. So then he took him and he told him, he explained to him, he says that my wife, it's a long waqiyah which Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi has written, he says that my wife, she got this habit where she goes around with other men. And because of this, he says, this child that you're seeing there, this handsome young boy, this is not even my child. Every day I have to see this and I'm going through a life of misery, never make this dua. So he realized that there's nobody in the world that got a life of only peace and happiness. So after some time he met Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he met Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam said, you made up your mind who you want to be like? So he says that I didn't find anyone. So he said, I told you, in this dunya a person will never go through happiness only. Sometimes problems, sometimes it is happiness. But I'll make one dua for you. He says, the dua that I make for you, that I will make for you, is that Allah Ta'ala must give you afiyat. And this is what we are taught in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, beg Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for well-being, for afiyat, for good health, that everything must go well in our life. This is what we are asked to make dua from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves a slave, when he loves his banda, صَبَّ عَلَيْهِ الْبَلَاءَ صَبَّ, then Allah Ta'ala pours difficulties, hardships upon such a person. This is an indication that Allah Ta'ala loves him. But as I mentioned, on condition that during that difficulty, during that hardship, he remains on the straight path. At that time, a person doesn't become despondent and start giving up all his ibadat. In some narration, it comes that sometimes a pious person, he goes through difficulty, he goes through hardship. So at that time, the malaika, they go to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they tell Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Ya Allah, that this is your banda. He's a close servant of yours. And you're putting him through this difficulty, you're putting him through this hardship. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala responds, Allah Ta'ala says, that I know he's my close servant. But when he humbles himself, he cries before me at that time when he's in that difficulty, I love that condition of his. And in other narrations it comes that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells the malaika, Allah Ta'ala says, go and try that certain servant of mine out. When he humbles himself and when he cries, and this is the time when a person normally humbles himself, now he's waking up tahajjud time, he's making dua, he's begging before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he goes through a little bit of hardship, some problem in his life, then he turns to Allah Ta'ala. So this condition is beloved to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Our Hazrat explained on one occasion, he said there was one particular person, he had some properties, flats, whatever it might have been, and he says that he had given it out, he was looking for tenants, but he couldn't find tenants. So because he couldn't find tenants, he started reading tahajjud namaz. After reading tahajjud namaz, a few months later, all his problems were sorted out, everything came right. But he says that that problem that I experienced in my life, that difficulty that I went through, he says, because of this, Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to read tahajjud. I'm still continuing tahajjud for as long as he was living, he was reading his tahajjud namaz. So sometimes when we go through these difficulties, through these hardships, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala draws a person, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala elevates a person. And if you have to look in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who could be more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقِ. Although the ulama say that this is a mawdu, from the mawdu'at, it is a fabricated hadith. But many, many muhaddithin have written that the mana, the meaning of the hadith is in order. That had it not been for Rasulullah Sallallahu, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wouldn't have created the world. The sun was created for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the moon was created, the heavens, the earth, everything that we're enjoying, all this was created for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yet Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned himself, وَلَقَدْ أُوذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا لَمْ يُؤْذَى أَحَدٍ. I've been given so much of taklif. I experienced so much of problems in my life, which nobody has experienced. And then Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, further he explains, he says, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيَّ وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْ عَلَيَّ ثَلَاثُونَ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ وَمَا لِي وَلِبِلَالٍ طَعَامٌ يَأْكُلُهُ ذُو كَبِدٍ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, 30 days used to come upon me. 30 days, the entire month used to pass upon me. 30 days and 30 nights. And myself and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, we didn't have that amount of food that a human being could eat. So he was a beloved of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yet in the home of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, here we will say financial problems. No food for a period of 30 days. So from here, a person shouldn't become despondent. When a person goes through some difficulty, do not become despondent. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was Khalilullah. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he got this laqab, when he got this title of Khalilullah, then the malaika, they objected. That, you know, Khalilullah, friend of Allah Ta'ala. So what a title this is. Allah Ta'ala says, if you are doubting the title that has been given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then you may test Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is mentioned at that time, one farishta came down. And he said, Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was in the jungle. And he was tending to his herd that was there, or his flock that was there. So when he heard the name of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went into a state of ecstasy, great enjoyment. So he told the farishta, not knowing, came in the form of a human being. He said, take the name of Allah Ta'ala again, one more time. So he said, if I take the name of Allah, what you prepared to give me? What will you pay? So he said, 50% of my animals that are here, my goats that are here, 50% I'm prepared to give it to you. One time, take the name of Allah. So he said, okay. So he took the name of Allah again. Now Ibrahim al-Islam enjoyed it even more than before. So he said, please, one more time, take the name of Allah one more time. So he said, if I take the name of Allah one more time, what you prepared to give? So he said, the other 50% of my animals that are there, my goats that are there, I'm prepared to give this to you. So he said, okay. So he took it another, so he took the name of Allah Ta'ala again. When he took the name of Allah again, Ibrahim al-Islam enjoyed it even further. So he said, please, one more time take the name of Allah. So he said, but you got no more animals. How are you going to pay now? So he says that for these animals, you will require a shepherd also. So he says, I'm prepared to become your shepherd. I'll take care of these animals. I'll become your slave. But take the name of Allah one more time. So then they said, they told Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that certainly the title of Khalilullah, this is a title Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is worthy of. Now Khalilullah, such a close friend of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Yet look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, it is only filled of tests. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, put him through various tests, then he passed every test with flying colors. From the time he was born, he was born in the home of an idol worshipper. Here was the first test for Ibrahim alayhi salam. He had to go against his family. He had to go against the people of his town. Finally came the stage where his father told him that if you're not going to leave me, O Ibrahim, then I'm going to stone you. At that time, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves Iraq and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes to Sham. Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is thrown into the fire. Here he goes through another difficulty. And in his old age, when he had become old, at that time when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with a son, at that time he's instructed that now slaughter the son of yours. So look at the test Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam goes through throughout his entire life. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, various Anbiya alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the difficulty and the test that he went through. Where Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, a handsome boy, and his brothers become jealous. He is thrown in the well. A free person, he is sold as a slave. And then finally, his father and the entire family meet up with him in Egypt. But Yaqub alayhi salam on the other side is crying, he lost his sight. So how much of test Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through, Yaqub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, wazkur abdana Ayyub. Allah ta'ala says, mention our servant Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Iznada rabbah. When he called unto Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he made dua. Anni massani ash-shaytanu binusbi wa adab. That shaitan has afflicted me with difficulty and hardship. Here the question might come that why is it that he's saying shaitan has afflicted me with this difficulty? It is mentioned that Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, the malaika, they praise Ayyub alayhi salam. When the malaika praised Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, so at that time, it is mentioned shaitan came and he asked Allah ta'ala for permission. He said, Wallah, give me permission. Give me authority over Ayyub alayhi salam. I will test Ayyub alayhi salam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave authority to Ayyub alayhi salam, to shaitan to test Ayyub alayhi salam. That is when he put him through these difficulties. His entire family, all his children were taken away. All the wealth of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was taken away. And according to others, they say that how the shaitan put him to difficulty. It is mentioned when he was going through this illness of his, then various thoughts shaitan would come and put in the mind of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And the third tafsir that has been given of this, that shaitan had put him through difficulty, that one day shaitan came in the form of a doctor. And he met the wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So when shaitan met the wife of Ayyub alayhi salam, she was desperate at that time. Husband is so sick. It is mentioned all type of boils. Mufassirin haven't mentioned much. Quran hasn't mentioned much in regards to the illness of Ayyub alayhi salam. But some commentators have written that boils had come out on the body of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And finally these boils burst, because of which now there was a stench. Although some commentators say it can't be possible, it's not correct. That a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he has a stench coming out of his body by which people will run away, it is not possible. But others say that it happened. This is when he was moved out. Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam had gone onto the outskirts, he had lived in the jungle. So at that time, shaitan met the wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So she was desperate. So he said that, I'm prepared to cure your husband, I'm a doctor. But on one condition, that when I cure him, you must say, I cured him. Whereas who cures? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is a form of shirk. That must say that shaitan cured him. So she agreed. So she came to Ayyub al-Islam and she told him. So Ayyub al-Islam became very, very upset. He said, that was shaitan. And he says that when I am cured from this illness, then I will give you 100 lashes. I will give you 100 lashes. So Ayyub al-Islam, at that time, so much of difficulty he went through. Finally came that stage where Allah Ta'ala said, Urkud birijlik, that take your foot now and hit the ground. When Ayyub al-Islam struck the ground with his foot, Hada mughtasalum baridu wa sharab. Here a spring came out of cold water with which he could now take a bath, he could now take ghusl, and he could drink from this water. So then Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا. That after that we had granted him his family also and his wealth also, and what we had taken away, we didn't give him the same amount. He lost his children, we didn't give him the same amount of children, but what he had lost, we had given him double of that. So we find that all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, they also experience a lot of difficulty, a lot of problems in their life. It is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, when a person, he will only see that those that went through difficulty, they made sabr in this world, what reward Allah Ta'ala has in store for them. A person will desire on the day of Qiyamah that I wish I could have been cut up into pieces with a scissor. I could have been cut up into pieces with a scissor. So today I could enjoy this reward as well. Today we worry about people, what is happening in various parts of the world. People are being bombed, children are being killed, parents are being killed on the other side. What is their daraja and what reward they got by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? This is only in the knowledge of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For that difficulty that they are going through, yes, we do feel difficult, we feel the pain for them. But in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, their daraja and their martaba is very, very high. Mullah Talmi rahmatullahi alayhi, on one occasion he explained this. He says, this difficulty that people experience, this hardships that people go through, he gives an example of this. He says, like a person that is ill, he is sick. So he says, when a person is sick, he goes to a doctor. Doctor says that you require an operation, you have to go for an operation. So he says that the person knows that when I go for this operation, I'm going to go through an anesthetic. And how much of pain, especially in the back if it is given, so much of pain I have to experience for this. And then they're going to cut me up. So that is additional pain. And then I'm going to be cut away from my family. I'm going to be sitting in the hospital, lying in the hospital bed 1 week, 2 weeks, depending how long it takes for a person to heal. So I'm going to be in hospital. And then I have to pay a huge amount to the doctor. Today a person, he goes to the hospital, or he goes to the private hospital in particular, the deposit is so much, 50,000, 100,000, 100,000 deposit they want from you. So you have all this, and he has to pay the hospital, he has to pay the doctor thereafter. But in spite of all this, he says, never mind, I will go. When can I get the first appointment? And the doctor that does the operation for him, what does he say? He says, you are my well-wisher. That he has done a great ihsan and a great favor. Why? Because he knows that if I get back my health, how much more I can do now. Exactly in the same way, Mawlana Thami rahmatullahi alayhi explains, he says that we dislike, we hate that we go through any problem, whether it is with our health, whether it is our finance, whether it is our business, whether it is in the home. We don't want problems in our life. But Mawlana Thami rahmatullahi alayhi says, exactly in the same way, that patient goes through that difficulty and then he enjoys good health. Similarly, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cleanses us, Allah ta'ala purifies us, that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, we go directly into Jannah. Now this he has explained, Mawlana Thami rahmatullahi has given an example, an incident. He says there were two people. So he says one person was a Jew, and the other person, he was a Muslim. So both these people, they were on their deathbed. They were on the verge of now passing away. The Jew also had a desire, and the Muslim also had a desire. The Jew, what was his desire? Jews, they like fish. So his desire was, I want to eat fish. And the Muslim, he had a desire that I want to drink olive oil. So it was such that the Muslim, where he was sleeping, there was olive oil in the cupboard next to him. And the Jew, where he was residing, in that area there was no fish. There was no fish that was available. So Allah Ta'ala sent down two malaika, one for the Jew and one for the Muslim. So he said that for the Jew, from another place, get the fish, and in his backyard there is a pond. Take that fish and put it into the pond. So he came down. And for the Muslim, that farishta that was sent down, he was told that that olive oil that is in the cupboard, take that olive oil and spill it, drop it. So this person, he won't be able to drink that olive oil. So these two farishtas, they met. So anyway, whatever they commanded to do, they went ahead, they fulfilled that command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But when they returned, they ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, that what is this? That this was a Jew and there was no fish in that area. You told us to bring that fish and put it in the pond. And for the Muslim, the olive oil was next to him. But we are told to drop that olive oil. Why? What's the reason for this? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explained, he says that for a kafir, he also does good deeds. And for the good that he does, he will get the reward in this dunya. In the akhirah, there is no reward for him whatsoever. So he said, this Jew, for all the good that he had done, he said, I've rewarded him for it. But there was one good deed that he had done, I hadn't rewarded him. So therefore I told the farishta that bring that fish and let him eat that fish, so I rewarded him in this way. And for the mu'min, for whatever wrong he has done in his life, whatever wrong, wherever he has erred, he has faltered, that I put him through some difficulty and wiped it out. But there was one guna that was still remaining. So that is why I said, drop that olive oil. So that guna is also wiped out. Tomorrow he will come on the day of Qiyamah, directly he will enter into Jannah. So the difficulties that we experience in our lives, to us it is like so much of difficulty and problem. But Allah Ta'ala is cleansing, Allah Ta'ala is purifying us for the Akhirat. Dr. Abdul Haythab Arifi, rahmatullahi, was a Khalifa of Mawlana Thami, rahmatullahi. He beautifully explained this point. He says there's two types of mujahadat. He says in this part of tasawwuf, when a person wants to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says that there is two types of, or other two categories of difficulties or mujahada that a person has to go through. One is what is referred to as mujahada ikhtiyari, that difficulty that we choose. That we will tread this path, we will go through this difficulty until we reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is a part of tasawwuf where we come to the Shaykh, we hand ourselves over to him, and then he puts us through some difficulty, for example. For example, we'll take one simple incident of Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullahi, which we mentioned before also, where his son, after he had passed away, the son realized that my father, great khazana he had, but my father has left the world, and now I've lost this treasure. But now I want this treasure, so what should I do? So he said that which of my father's khulafa have got the treasure? So he was in Gangohi, and he found out that his father's khalifa that was in Balkh, he's got the treasure. So he decided to undertake a journey. So he undertook this journey, he went all the way to Balkh. So that alim that was there, or that sheikh that was there, he found out that he's coming, he went out of his way, received him, gave him the best of food. For on the second day, he told the sheikh, he said that I didn't come for this dawah. So he said, what have you come for? He says that the treasure that you took from my father, I came back for that treasure. He said, oh, you came for that. So he said, go next to the masjid. There is a little room where they used to warm the water for wudu. In those days, there weren't any geysers. So he used to manually, they used to put in the logs and they used to warm the water. So people would come salah time, they would find hot water to perform wudu. So he said, go and stay there. So he stayed there. After some time had passed, some months, now there was no good food. Now there was no VIP treatment for him. He was in that particular area. After some time had passed, in those days when the girl used to take all the filth, all the muck, all the dirt, the waste, and they used to go and dump it. So he told her, he said that when you're going with the waste, go a little bit, go near him. Go near him and pass him. And then come back and report to me that what is his condition. So she went. So when she went near him, he got very, very angry. He said, you're lucky this is bulk. If this was gango, I would have shown you. So she came back, she told the sheikh that this is what happened. He said, oh, too much of pride. He knew his heart was clean, but he came from a respectable family. So there's a lot of pride. So that pride has to be taken out now. So this was the first time. After some time had passed, again he told her that when you go by, take that bucket now of waste and go past him and let's see his reaction. This time when she went past him, he became upset, but he didn't say anything. So see, there was already, the treatment was effective now. He was progressing. He didn't say anything. So he says, okay, there is some, we are now progressing. So the third time came. So he told her after some time again that now go past her again and go close to him. This time, he didn't get angry also. He didn't say anything also. So he said there is benefit. But the fourth time, he said when you go, then drop that whole bucket on him. So when she went the fourth time, she tripped and she dropped the whole bucket on him. When she dropped the whole bucket, this time he told her, did you get hurt? He didn't worry about himself. All that waste fell on him. So see the faida, look at the benefit, how the treatment was working. So he told him that tomorrow we are going hunting, so you must come hunting with us. They are hunting dogs. So he said, you must come hunting. But you must hold on to the chain that is connected to the dog. But don't leave the chain. Whatever happens, you're not to leave the chain. So he agreed, whatever the sheikh said, he was sincere, he was genuine, he wanted that treasure. So he said that I'll hold on to the chain. So the next day, he was already weak, so many days he didn't have good food. Here he was warming the water, so much of difficulty. So now he was already weak. So the next day when the dogs went out hunting, he held on to the chain. And the dog started running. After some time he got tired, so he fell. When he fell, the dogs pulled him. So the whole back now was bruised. The whole back was bruised. That night, when the sheikh that was in bulk, he went to sleep, he saw his sheikh, Shah Abdul Quddus Gangoi Rahmatullahi. So his sheikh told him, he says, when I gave you this gift, I didn't put you through so much. What are you putting my son through? So the next morning he got up, he called his son, he says, whatever I have achieved, whatever I acquired from your father, I am now passing it all over to you. Go back to Bach. So that is mujahadat ikhtiyari. Through your own ikhtiyar, through your own choice, you hand yourself over to the sheikh and he puts you to this. In today's time, it's impossible. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Today, the sheikh, so to say, has to lower himself for the mureedin. Otherwise, the mureed will run away. So today, when there is no mujahadat from our side, so what will happen is we are forced into certain types of mujahadat, which is referred to as mujahadat ittirari. We are forced into certain types of mujahadat. And through these mujahadat that we go through, we find that a person, his status is elevated and he becomes close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For example, if a person goes through illness, now because he's going through illness, what happens now, he turns to Allah ta'ala, he makes dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he exerts himself, he gives up gunas. So what is happening? He's been elevated, he's getting closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But did he choose that illness? He never chose that illness. Take another example, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. That the Sahaba, there were many, many occasions that Sahaba didn't have food in their home. That did they choose not to have food in their home? It wasn't from their own choice. They went through this difficulty where there was no food in the home of Sahaba. Sahaba, when they recited Kalima La ilaha illallah, they were put onto the burning sand of Makkah al-Mukarramah and dragged to such an extent that now matter was coming out of the back, blood was coming out of the back. This was mujahadat ittirari. It was placed upon them. They didn't choose this. As Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, so much of hunger, he says that because of hunger, I used to faint at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi. He says people used to think Abu Huraira is suffering from fit, epileptic fit. So in those days, the treatment for epileptic fit was they used to take the foot and put it on the back, on the neck over here. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala said, I never suffer from epileptic fits. Wallahi ma bi illa al-ju. This was hunger, so much of hunger that I used to faint at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi. So this is mujahadat ittirari. Now when Sahaba went through this type of mujahadat, this type of difficulty, what happened to Sahaba? Allah Ta'ala elevated their state so much that it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that if a person has to give Mount Uhud in gold, he has to give it in sadaqah, and a Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to give one mud is 796 grams, not even a kilo. He says it's not even equivalent to one mud of a Sahabi. And the hadith says, or even half of a mud is 384 grams. That a mountain of gold, if we have to give, it is not even equivalent to 384 grams of gold that a Sahabi had given in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Now how did they read this? They read this on that mujahadat ittirari. Hazrat Nadr ibn Anas radiallahu ta'ala, on the occasion of the battle of Uhud, it is mentioned 80 arrows were shot at him to such an extent that nobody could recognize him on the battlefield. His sister came and she looked at his fingertips. From the fingertip, she was able to recognize Hazrat Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu ta'ala. This is what we refer to as mujahadat ittirari. So the difficulties that we go through in this day and age, this is the category that it falls in, mujahadat ittirari, where we are forced into that difficulty. But through that difficulty, financial problem, the business is not going right. Now a man is in a masjid, he is making dua to Allah Ta'ala, he is giving sadaqah, he is reading Quran, every morning he is reading Yasin Sharif, whereas normally he wouldn't be doing that. So he doesn't realize that through this difficulty that I'm going through, I'm getting closer and closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is pulling me. So this is one example that Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi gave. Another example that Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi gave, he gives an example of a little child. He says a little child doesn't like to bath. At the end of the day, the child, for the mother to get the child into the bath is a job, is a task for her to get the child into the bathroom to bath him. Exactly the same way Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that we do not like to go through this difficulty. But just as the child, eventually he'll be cleansed, he'll be so clean now after he takes that bath, exactly the same way, although we don't like it, when we go through this difficulty, eventually Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cleanses us, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will purify us, so that tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, we are cleansed to go directly into Jannah. Now many people, they say that when they go through this problems, through illness, that I'm making so much of dua, Allah Ta'ala is not accepting my dua. So here our mashayikh, they explain, they say that your dua is 100% accepted. The fact that you're getting the tawfiq of making dua, that is an indication, that is a sign that your dua is 100% accepted. But it is only this much that Allah Ta'ala now wants to give you a double-fold reward. One reward you will get for the dua that you are making. And the other reward you're going to get is because of that difficulty, that hardship that you're experiencing, you're going to get reward for that as well. But never, although there's so much of reward, a person should never ask for taklif, for difficulty to come upon him. On one occasion, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi, he was explaining regarding the fazail and the virtues of going through difficulty, going through hardship, illness, what a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala it is. So while he was giving this bayan, one person suffering from leprosy, he just walked in the majlis. And he came straight to Haji Sahib. So he told Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi, he said, make dua, Allah Ta'ala gives me cure. So all the muridin, they looked at Haji Sahib. On one side, he is telling us the great virtue of illness and going through difficulty and how Allah Ta'ala elevates the person. And here a man walks in and he's a leper and he's saying, make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants me complete shifa. What is Haji Sahib going to do? At that time, Haji Imdadullah Sahib, Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah, this is what you call understanding of deen. They had the understanding of deen. Immediately he lifted up his hand. He said, oh Allah, that this illness that a person experiences, this is a great ni'mat from your side. He said, but we are so weak that we cannot endure this difficulty. We cannot endure this ni'mat of yours. So change this ni'mat of illness into the ni'mat of good health. Change this ni'mat of illness into the ni'mat of good health. This is what we call the understanding of deen. And when a person goes through this, at that time a person must become humble. If he's sick at that time a person shouldn't show that he is brave. He can take the pain. A person should never do this. But at that time, humble yourself. Let that ah come out also. That, oh Allah, I can't take this difficulty. Shouldn't be complaining, but that ah must come out. Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib, rahmatullahi, on one occasion, he mentioned regarding a particular buzruk. He went to visit another buzruk. So that buzruk was in difficulty. He was ill. So at that time, he was saying, alhamdulillah. So this buzruk asked him, he said, is this the occasion to say alhamdulillah? He says, no, this is not the occasion to say Alhamdulillah. At this time when you're going through this difficulty, show your weakness, show your humbleness, cry before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he said, as long as you do not express your weakness and your humbleness and you do not cry before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this illness of yours, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not change this into good health also. You will remain in this condition until you express your humbleness before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Just terminate on this. That Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was in his final stages, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she sees her father, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is experiencing so much of difficulty at that stage. So she also said, Wa karuba, abah, that my father, so much of difficulty my father is going through. So at that time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Laysa ala abika karbun ba'd al yawm, that after this day, your father won't go through difficulty. And this is a difficulty he's going through at the time his terminal illness, at the time of death, he's going through this, but after this he won't go through this. And then when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, it is mentioned Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, she recited some poetry. She said, Ya Abata, Ajaba Rabban Da'a. And oh my beloved father, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has called you. You responded to the call of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ya Abata, Min Jannatil Firdausi Ma'wa. Oh my beloved father, the Jannatul Firdaus is your abode. Allah Ta'ala has Jannat for you. And she said, Ya Abata, ila Jibreel nan'a, that we will inform Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that now wahi has stopped now. Now there's no need to bring down wahi, that you have left the world and you are now connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you have gone to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then when Sahaba had buried Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they returned, then she asked them, she said, Atabat anfusukum an tahsu turaba ala Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Are you feeling good now? Are you feeling happy? She was in that state of mind that you have now put sand onto Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you have returned home. But look at that stage also, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also went through difficulty. It is mentioned when the son of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Ibrahim, he had passed away. At that time also Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed his grief, his humbleness. وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. We are also grieved, O Ibrahim, that you have left us, you have left this world, that we are grieved by your separation. And when the son, the grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the child of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, this child had passed away. At that time Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he cried at that time. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is haqq Allah, this is your decision, this was the decision of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But what we are required to do, to humble ourselves, to cry before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala at that time. But there should be no complaint. So this is the actual sunnah, this is the actual way of the actual sunnah that we should make amal upon, that a person shouldn't complain when we go through these difficulties, when we go through these hardship, but a person is permitted to humble himself, to cry before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal, inshallah.